And our next speaker is Elizabeth Brodkin. Elizabeth is Medical Health Officer in Fraser Health. She's also a member of the BC Immunization Subcommittee. And she worked very hard last year, as did most of the people in this room, rolling out the HPV program. And she's here to talk to us about the issues with mature minor consent, the gap between theory and practice.
Thanks, Monica. Good morning, everyone. As Monica said, I work in Fraser, and I had the somewhat dubious honor of being asked to give this presentation because Fraser had a lot of issues with mature minor consent last year, and I'm going to talk about some of them this morning. A minor is just a child who is under the age of majority, and in British Columbia that is 19 years of age. A minor is deemed to be mature if he or she is capable of providing informed consent to his or her own health care. So what I'm going to talk about in the time I have this morning is the legislation that is key around the issue of mature minor consent, and there are three acts in BC that are important here. I'll talk about the policy that we have in British Columbia for delivering informed consent or for ensuring that informed consent takes place, and then I'll give two real-life examples from Fraser that we had to deal with when our HPV program was rolled out last fall. The Infant Act, two definitions. Again, an infant is an individual under the age of 19. There's no bottom limit to this. Healthcare is anything that is done to that infant for therapeutic, for preventive, for palliative, for diagnostic, cosmetic, or any other health-related purpose. And I'm going to go through this just because the wording does become important. So this is taken from Section 17 of the Infant Act. And it says that an infant may consent to health care, and if an infant provides consent, the onset is effective, and it is not necessary to obtain consent to that health care from the parent or from the guardian. But that consent doesn't constitute consent unless the health care provider has explained to the infant and has been satisfied the infant understands the nature, the consequences, and the risks and benefits of the health care, and that health care is in the infant's best interests. The second piece of pertinent legislation is the School Act. And Section 88 of the School Act says that a school board must provide health services, social services, and other support services for schools in accordance with any orders that are made by the minister. And the School Act, this particular act applies to public schools, not to independent schools in British Columbia. And under the authority of the School Act, there are two orders that have been written by the minister that are important when it comes to mature minor consent. The first order is around access. And this order says that every board shall permit the student record kept by the board for that student to be disclosed to a person who is planning for the delivery of or delivering health services to that student. And this is why we have permission to get school lists so that we use to deliver our immunization programs. Now, what's missing here is our details about what is included in a school record. It is generally assumed to be things like name and date of birth and sex and contact information, but the fact that this order is a little vague has caused problems in days when many schools are increasingly becoming very protective of parents' desire for privacy. And we have had schools who have only given us names and no other information. And the second order under the School Act that is pertinent for mature minor consent is about the role of community health nurses in schools. And this order says that every board shall equip and maintain a room that can be used as a medical room in each school and to make that room available to the community health nurse assigned to the school. Again, this order is a little vague. It says that a room has to be made available, but it doesn't say whether or not the school can interfere with what the nurse does in that room. And it also doesn't say that the students have to be brought to the room. And again, the fact that those are not specified in this order caused us some difficulty last year. Finally, there's the Independent School Act. So applies to independent schools in British Columbia. The Act just gives the minister power to make regulations. And under Section 9 of the regulations, again, a regulation about school records that the authority must establish and maintain a record for each student, and the authority must permit a person providing health services access to information in those records required to carry out those services. Again, this is why we're able to get class lists from our independent schools. And finally, under the regulation is an order about student records disclosures. Every authority must permit that student record to be disclosed to a person who is planning for delivery of health services. Now, what is missing from the Independent School Act and regulations is any mention of a room. So independent schools are not, in fact, required to make rooms available to healthcare providers for the delivery of health services. All right. We were fortunate in BC to have an informed consent working group who did a great deal of work a year ago about developing guidelines and policies about what constitutes informed consent in BC. The elements of informed consent as it applies to immunization are that it is specific to immunization, it's client-centered, voluntary, obtained without fraud or misrepresentation. It assesses the capability of the one who is giving consent. It provides certain standard information, gives time for questions and answers, and gives the right to refuse or to revoke consent. And then there, in our guidelines, are also a process for actually obtaining informed consent, and I'm going to just talk about those elements, those of the process that are important as far as mature minor consent is concerned. The first step in obtaining informed consent is to determine that the person giving consent has the authority to do that. And as far as children are concerned, parents do have the authority to provide informed consent unless the child has consented as a mature minor. Mature minors have authority, and that takes precedence over parental consent. So if a parent has given consent for a vaccine and the mature minor decides he or she doesn't want it, they can refuse. And if a parent has refused a vaccine and the mature minor decides that he or she would like it, they can give consent, and that overrules parental consent. It is also the public health nurse's responsibility to inform mature minors that they may give consent on their own behalf. The second step in the process is to assess the capability of the individual to give informed consent, and that means that they have to demonstrate the capability and understanding of the standard information. Standard information is what generally is included in the BC Health Files. The third step is to provide that information, and then to confirm that the information is understood, the nurse needs to use her clinical judgment, and that can include things like assessing nonverbal cues, ensuring that the individual has asked the appropriate questions, and if no questions are asked or if there's silence, to clarify the reason for the silence and to make sure it doesn't represent lack of understanding. And the last three steps are to ensure that an opportunity is given to ask questions, to confirm whether consent is given or whether the vaccine is refused, and then to document that. So that's what the legislation says about mature minor consent, and that is the process that our public health nurses and our physicians are supposed to go through when they're obtaining consent from youth in British Columbia. But we ran into some significant difficulties last winter when we rolled out our HPV program around this issue, and I'm going to talk about the two most challenging situations we faced. The first happened in a public school board and the second in an independent school board, and as we've talked about, the legislation around the two is a little different.